You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Celebration Challenge. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
It's scary to consider what might happen to our children and our grandchildren. In a moment, I'm going to give you a statistic that should grab your attention. In 1990, the Search Institute of Minneapolis did a study of youth and adults in six mainline Protestant denominations. They ask young people questions designed to identify at-risk indicators. An at-risk indicator is a behavior that could potentially harm a young person. Here are the questions. Were you sad or depressed 20 times or more in the last year? Have you thought about suicide in the last year? Did you drink alcohol 6 or more times? Did you get drunk 3 or more times this year? Did you use marijuana 3 or more times in the last 12 months? And did you use cocaine once or more? Did you hit or beat someone up 6 times or more this last year? Did you shoplift 3 or more times in the last year? Did you get into trouble 3 or more times? And finally, in this last year, did you have sexual intercourse 1 or more times? Now remember, these questions were put to children from mainline Christian denominations. What percentage do you guess are at risk? That is, how many would you guess are engaging in one or more potentially damaging behaviors? From grades 7 through 12, about 73% report one or more at-risk factors. 73%! The number reporting three or more at-risk factors was about 28%. Yes, indeed. It is scary to consider what might happen to our children and grandchildren. More recently, the Search Institute prepared another report entitled A Portrait of Students in Lutheran Schools. To show you that our children are still at risk, the report says this: the vast majority of youth, whether of color or white, female or male, in public or parochial schools, lack too many of the positive building blocks of development. It is for this reason that we claim that the developmental infrastructure in this nation is in serious trouble. So, here's a challenge for your heart today. The challenge is to tell our young people what God wants them to hear. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Let us, you and I, each one of us in our own life and each of us in our own way, challenge our young people to celebrate life in the goodness of God. Jeremiah told the people back in his day that God had a hope and a future for his people. Jeremiah chapter 29 is a letter from the prophet to the people of Israel. They had been forced into exile in Babylonia. The future seemed to have nothing good in store for them. But God intended to bring his people back to Israel, back to their homeland, back to the land he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, back to the land where the Messiah would be born. It is true, their exile was a chastening from God because of their sins against him. But their exile was not a sign that God had given up on his people. God doesn't quit on his people. So God announced that he would prosper them. He would give them hope. He would give them a future. In doing that, God laid in front of his people a challenge to celebrate their present life in Babylon because of the future that was coming. God hasn't given up on you either. God hasn't given up on me, and God certainly hasn't given up on our youth. The at-risk behaviors that we listed are sins against God that also hurt our young people and hurt us. It's not unlike Israel's sins against God that resulted in the hurt of the exile. The fact that so many youth are at risk, Or as one report said, the fact that the developmental infrastructure in this nation is in serious trouble does not mean that God has thrown in the towel on us. God doesn't quit on His people. But in order for us to celebrate the future, in order to challenge our young people to have hope, we must focus on the center of God's promises. And that center is the Messiah, who came after the exile and who was born in Bethlehem, Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Messiah who came from Israel. As He told the Samaritan woman, "I am He, the Messiah." He did not come to be the Savior of Israel alone. For John the Baptizer said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus' death on the cross earned forgiveness for every sin of every person of every age. And Jesus is alive right now. God brought Him back to life on Easter. His resurrection is the assurance of unending life for every one of us who has centered our hope for the future in Him. God promises, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." All this is centered on Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah. St. Paul says, "All the promises of God are yes in Him, and through Him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." The challenge is to celebrate that hope and future in Christ right now. We who are parents and grandparents ought to be concerned that so many youth are at risk, but we shouldn't go about wringing our hands in gloom and doom. A recent study by the American Bible Society showed that young people blame themselves for much that is wrong in their lives. And then the ABS study says this blame is exacerbated by fear of the future and hopelessness, especially for those youth without any discernible faith system. You and I aren't doing any good by lamenting how many are at risk. How will we do good for our youth? Two major ways. In examining the religious biographies of youth, reported the Search Institute, the two experiences most associated with higher faith maturity are the level of family religiousness and the amount of exposure to Christian education. I'm going to talk about youth and the family next week. Now let me share a story about how Christian education made a difference in the life of an eighth grader at risk. In fact, you'll see that the word of Christ not only changed this girl, but it changed her family too. Pastor Frank Maurer tells the story in these words. She had been in foster care for 3 years. Now she was coming home. Education had been a problem for her in the past. Naturally, her parents wondered what to do about her schooling now. She would be in eighth grade. Dad, not her biological father, noticed a private school, Zion Lutheran, in his driving about the city as a tow truck operator. The question then arose, would this private school accept her? Mom and Dad came together to talk to the school principal. Clearly expecting a curt brush-off, they were surprised at the warm reception they received, and even more surprised when they left that their daughter had actually been accepted. Confirmation instruction is required of everyone in the 7th and 8th grades at Zion. This confirmation course became the girl's introduction to the Christian faith. She was not accomplished academically by any means, but she was interested in the religious instruction she was receiving, and she took an active part in discussing the lessons. She questioned everything, including her teacher's modeling of faith and her fellow students' acceptance of its reality. Although she said very little about her own personal faith, we hope that the frequent references to God and the Christian faith throughout the day were reinforcing it. Her general attitude at school was what I call tough reserved, perhaps just waiting. Pastor Maurer says, "I had no idea what she was taking home for discussion there." Then the phone rang, and another very interesting series of events began. It was Mom. She asked if she, too, could receive the kind of instruction her daughter was getting. The answer was yes. The class started with Mom and three other daughters, all of whom wanted to learn what their younger sister was learning. The class went fine. They didn't miss a session, and they were avid learners. They knew that they were sinners, and they eagerly grabbed onto the knowledge that God loves them and has redeemed them through Christ. On Christmas Eve of 1989, 10 members of the family were baptized into Christ, the mother, the three older daughters, the eighth grade student, and six younger children. 3 years later, the father also took my instruction class and was confirmed, having been baptized as a child. Pastor Maurer concludes by saying, "This could be a never-ending story. I shared this much with you to show what can happen when a troubled kid finds forgiveness and love in Christ. Zion Lutheran School, Omaha, Nebraska, helped her find that love." Effective Christian education makes a difference in the lives of young people. This week, many people are observing Lutheran Schools Week. There are some 250,000 students enrolled in 1,200 Lutheran elementary and secondary schools. In addition, there are almost 3,000 Lutheran preschools serving young children. These schools are leading children to celebrate God's love, and we praise God for these schools. But we thank God this week for even more. Effective Christian education doesn't stop there. Sunday schools, vacation Bible schools, youth groups, confirmation classes, in every setting where youth are taught about Jesus Christ, God is preparing citizens for this world and people of hope for the future. That's the way God works. He comes to people who are fearful and hopeless and gives them a reason to celebrate. He did it through Jeremiah to the exiles in Babylon. And in the first century AD, God used Peter to challenge another group of exiles to celebrate their hope and their future. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." That's the way God is still working today. He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on me. He hasn't given up on our youth. Let us not give up either. Let us challenge our youth to the hope and the future that is theirs in Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.